Talk. This morning I have the pleasure of speaking with Gerard Kisby-Green, the CEO of Goplat. They've had some outstanding results this morning, and Gerard's going to go through them with me and bring everyone up to date. Good morning, Gerard. How are you?
Morning, Peter. I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Now, you've had some brilliant results given the turnaround that's taken place at Goplat this morning. Would you like to go through them with me this morning, please?
Yes, sure. I can give you a summary of the financial results if you'd like.
Yeah, that'd be a good start. Thank you.
Sure. So, Peter, I mean, I think the starting from the top, we had a 21% increase in revenue to just over 20 million pounds. We also had an increase of 1.8 million pounds in operating profit to 1.172 million pounds. And that's particularly pleasing because the previous year we had a loss of around about 700,000 pounds.
Yeah.
And also very pleasing is our cash position improved significantly to just over 2 million pounds during the year. I think important to say, though, as well, is that, you know, these results are a result of the recovery operations, both in South Africa and Ghana, becoming profitable again during the year as we had forecast and planned for.
Now, as you said, it's been a struggle historically. And now things appear to be turning around. What's been behind all of that? Because you seem to have put some things in place that are now generating the income and stabilizing as such for Goplat.
Yeah, you know, the end of financial year 2015 came at a time where we'd been hamstrung significantly by problems with the Rand refinery, where we were hamstrung for cash flow. And that backed up into all of our operations where our clients ultimately weren't even delivering new material to us.
Right.
So it's a matter of working through all those issues sequentially, returning to normal production, and in fact, we returned to increased production, but at the same time, working down the significant backlog of stock which had accumulated during 2015. And we really did this through a number of probably three primary initiatives. Firstly, we had to find alternative destinations for the byproduct material which the Rand refinery hadn't taken. And we primarily used Aurubis refinery in Germany for that, and we've spoken to the market about that quite a lot.
Yeah.
Secondly, you know, in order to help with the cash flow and to make our clients happy again, we established a pre-finance facility with Auramet. And again, that has been announced during the course of the year. And then finally, and probably most significantly, we successfully commissioned a 4-ton elution plant at our South African operation during the course of the year. And this gave us a lot of flexibility, number one, to be able to elute a lot of the material from both the South African operation as well as the Ghanaian operation, but also, you know, just to ramp up our run rate of production that we could process internally.
No, that's really, really good. That, I mean, you've now got a net cash position, which, you know, has increased substantially now.
Yeah, we have got, but, you know, this is really, you know, we see it as working capital because we continue to have significant capital projects and we've been financing everything internally, you know, and over and above that, the net position really does reflect a snapshot at the end of the year, you know, and it does reflect to a large extent some payables in there. But
okay.
We're very happy and a lot more comfortable with our cash position now than what we've been for most of last year.
Yeah, indeed. So how do you see this profitability being sustained and the cash flow position being maintained going forward?
Well, I think, you know, the main thing is that the recovery operations are back into profitability and indeed growing. The issues which we had previously are all dealt with and we continue to deal with them. One major change should come from turning around the losses which we've been making at Kilimapesa.
Yeah.
You know, that is the big thing. We plan to get into operational profitability at Kilimapesa during the course of 2017. You know, to that end, we've been working on installing and commissioning a new plant, but a new second-hand plant by and large at Kilimapesa. Which will allow us to increase both production and processing capacity and bring us to operational profitability there.
Okay, so do you see the issues at Kilimapesa being addressed and therefore becoming more profitable in 2017? Is that what you're saying there? Because it has been a bit of a drag, Kilimapesa, for a little while.
It has been. You know, if we are able to successfully execute our strategy and plans there, the short-term plans, we should become operationally profitable during the course of this financial year.
Excellent news, excellent news. So, with regards to Klimapesa, then you've also got am I pronouncing this right? Anamuso, also pushing forward.
Yeah, well, Anamuso is a small exploration project in Ghana, which we've not been able to spend any capital on during the past couple of years. When we initially acquired it a couple of years ago in 2011, we did spend significant money on it. But there's no funding available in the market at the moment for early stage exploration. We did announce in June this month that we've concluded an option earning agreement with a Canadian company called Ashanti.
Ashanti, yeah, I saw
Yeah,
that.
and they're going to, over a period of a couple of years, invest up to $3 million into the project, primarily for additional exploration and to bring the project we hope to kind of develop and ready.
Yeah.
And they'll dilute our equity stake in the project, but we'll retain a significant upside in the project.
Yeah, so you'll do a profit share on that one there. So I think the last time I heard you speak about that, it's like a 2.5 year horizon for that one.
That's absolutely right. The first option period for the initial 1.5 million is 18 months, and the
Yeah.
second option period is a year.
Okay, so where do you see the most potential for the growth coming in the group going forward?
The biggest turnaround will be making Kilimapesa profitable.
Yeah.
The most growth would be what we've spoken about for a long time, but are now starting to implement, is using our Ghanaian presence and the fact that we are in a tax-friendly hub there
Yeah.
to expand both into West Africa as a region, but also into North and South America. You would have seen in the announcement that we've started moving on that now. We've moved a sourcing manager down to Brazil from Ghana.
Yeah.
We've developed a relationship and agreed terms of a contract with a local in Brazil who is very, very well networked. I mean, in exactly the kind of industry we need someone to be.
Yeah.
And we've appointed a manager to spearhead the marketing and development of a business in those regions.
Yeah, you seem to be broadening your reach now, the expansion into South America. This is now looking almost like a newer strategy for Goldplat. Could you see Goldplat becoming more internationally focused moving forward?
Well, I guess in much as we've always said we are African focused,
Yeah.
it could be seen as being somewhat of a change to the strategy. In fact, at this point in time, we'll be sourcing material internationally. It will still be going to our two main recovery operations, being in South Africa and Ghana. And in fact, we expect the majority of the international material to go into Ghana, at least in the first instance. So, we'll take a look at how it goes in South America, particularly. And if we find there's critical mass there and there's an opportunity to, economically viably develop a business down there, then we'll consider that at the time. But the initial business will be to source material there for export to primarily Ghana, but also to South Africa.
Okay, so I'm getting an inkling there that if it gets to the stage where Goldplat are sustainable, they've got enough revenue, the net cash positive, that potentially you could look at building something within South America so you don't have to export it all the way to Ghana to refine. Is that a potential there?
Well, not quite, because it's not going to be driven by the Goldplat productivity. It's going to be driven by the potential of a business down there to be profitable.
To be profitable, of course. Okay,
Yes, yeah.
okay. All right, so you've got some news recently regarding a new NED coming in, Matthew Robinson, and you've
Yes.
got an AGM next month on that. Could you just tell us a bit more about Matthew and why that adds a little bit more depth to the Goldplat board, etc.?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, the vacancy or the opportunity is arising because Brian Moritz, who's our non-executive chairman, is standing down. And he's been with the company since inception, and he's been an extremely helpful and supportive and loyal part of the board. Brian, as he said in his statement, is 80 years old now and still retains quite a few board positions and would like to start lightening up on that.
Yeah.
So it did create the need for us to find and appoint a new chairman. And Matthew's got the kind of credentials that we're looking for. He's got a good solid financial background. He's got a lot of city experience. He's got experience as a nomad and a broker. More importantly, he's led smallish mining companies to really, really strong growth paths. And so it really does, I think, dovetail very, very well with where we are in our strategy right now.
Yeah, I was going to ask in a sense of what the strategy is going forward. Obviously, you're looking more internationally, and I was wondering if there was anything particular regarding Matthew's skill set that you were thinking, we could utilize that long term to do X, Y, and Z, and if you could share anything more on that.
There's nothing particular. I think I've articulated really our recovery growth opportunities and strategy. We have said, however, in the past that, and I've certainly said that I would like for Goldplat to be producing as much gold from mining operations, the primary mining, as we are from recovery. So if you take our numbers this year at around about 40,000 ounces of gold from recovery, I would like us to get to that kind of number from mining. And to get there, we're not going to grow Quilimapesa to that kind of size, and we're certainly not going to grow Nimzo or Niemi to that kind of size in the foreseeable future. So it's a matter of looking out for viable opportunities
Opportunities, yeah.
with either close to develop or developing mines and or operating mines and doing corporate transactions with them. I think the point there is that there are not a whole lot of them out there.
No.
So one's got to keep looking, and indeed I've been looking, and our team's been looking, and we'll continue to. And I think we look to Matthew to helping us in that endeavor, to find something which works for us and fits with our kind of culture and our strategy, and importantly, being kind of ready when something comes up, if and when something comes up, be ready to move quickly, because anything of quality that does pop up, there are going to be a lot of people looking for it. So
Of course, yeah.
we'd like to think we're well positioned and ready to move fast, and our affairs are in order so that we can consummate some kind of corporate transaction, in the foreseeable future.
Indeed, that sounds very, very the right way to go about things. What have the next few months got in store for Goldplat, and what news can investors expect to see?
Well, I think you've touched on a couple of them. The first one, obviously, is the hopeful approval by shareholders at the AGM of Matthew Robinson as a director and his appointment as our non-executive chairman. We hope to, and we're very close to finalizing the appointments of various parties with respect to the South American and international operations, being the local partner in Brazil and the marketing manager within Goldplat. I think the most exciting thing is the ongoing construction at Quilimapesa, and it's going really well down there. We're seeing the leach tanks and things being erected and generators installed and all these things, so it's quite exciting down there. And we hope to be in what I call first stage production before the end of this calendar year. In other words, we won't have the front end operating yet, but we've got significant stockpiled finer material which can go straight into the milling circuit, which we hope to do before the end of the calendar year. And then hopefully, very importantly, the resolution, an amicable resolution with respect to the Brand Refinery dispute.
Okay, I didn't. I was going to touch on that a bit later on, but are those nearing? Could investors see that concluded before 2017, or you think there's likely to be during 2017 that?
It's difficult to say because we've entered into a process of investigation with a third party, and it really does depend on how long that process takes. We would love to think that we could conclude something by the end of the calendar year, but I certainly can't make any promises because it's really not in our control at the moment.
Okay, so. Given that gold prices has moved somewhat since the beginning of the year when it had a bit of a downtrend, and we're now in the $1,300 range, what do you foresee as the range that we should see in the first half of 2017, and how that would impact Goldplat going forward?
Well, it's interesting. We were profitable at the beginning of the last financial year, and it was significantly lower than what it is now. So we're comfortable now. Quite clearly, any increase in the gold price, drops through, and it will help us really to continue financing our capital projects internally. The market seems to be pretty much all over the show with respect to where the gold price is going to go. And
Indeed.
I'm honestly not any cleverer than all the analysts out there. We're very happy with anything between 1,300 and 1,350. And I think it's shown that it's quite likely to sort of oscillate in that kind of range. Notwithstanding any major political and global economic events that might crop up that's unsuspected. So I think anything above 1,300, below 1,350, we'll be happy with in the near term.
Okay, I mean the GDP share price has done exceptionally well, and it's one of the top performing stocks within AIM, especially AIM resource stocks. So investors have been well rewarded for their patience year to date. So given that you've put all the you've reinvested and the infrastructure's in place, it's likely therefore that GDP could do exceptionally well again in 2017.
We hope to, and you know, it's great that we're rewarding shareholders who've been buying shares down as low as, you know, the 180, 190, 1.9p kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I'd really like to reward those shareholders who came in at 10p and 12p.
Of course.
You know, so we've got a way to go there, and I'll be happy when we have that kind of number, to be honest with you.
Okie dokie. Now, Gerard, I've covered all my questions. I didn't know if there's anything you wanted to recap on, just to cover all the bases. The investors that have been in year to date and in long term appear to be on the right strategy now, in the sense of being rewarded. I don't know if there's anything else you wanted to add.
I think the one thing I would add is, you know, whereas we have been financing, you know, all of our projects internally, you know, the bulk of the capital expenditure is going to Quilmapesa, which is not cash flow generative. So, yeah. You know, it's kind of like our capital structure within the group needs attention. You know, so we will continue to seek other sources of funding, capital funding in the market potentially, so that we can restructure our cash flow within, or our balance sheet rather, within the group. So we continue to look at that. And, you know, I've said it often, I think publicly, that at these kind of equity price levels, you know, we don't want to do any kind of equity capital raise. So we'll continue to look for alternative sources of capital within the capital markets.
Okie doke. Gerard Kinsby-Green, thank you ever so much for appearing on Share Talk, and we'll look forward to speaking to you again soon.
Thanks very much, Peter.